The message today is entitled, To the Church in America. To the Church in America. I want to talk to you for a moment. We're going to be in mainly Acts chapter 2, but we will be in other scriptures as well. And so, as we get into this message, I believe this is a message that speaks directly, I want to say directly to the church in America, because we are in America. We live in America. This is our home. This is where we are. I don't know what's going on in other parts of the world with the churches over there, because my feet are here on America, right here. So we're going to speak about this. I believe that God is faithful. God speaks to all of his people throughout all of the nations. I believe that with all my heart. He does. In Acts chapter 2, I would like to pick that up. And I want to, as I get this together, I want to talk to you about, I believe, the things that need to be in the Church of America today and the things that are coming, and I believe in the very, very, very short period of time. And I remember here a week or two ago, I had said to y'all that the month of April was going to be a very interesting month. And so we've had an earthquake in Taiwan. We've had an earthquake in New York City, all in New Jersey, all of there. And a lot of the people can say, well, those are just coincidences. And I'm going to tell you something. As I get into this message, with God, there is nothing that's coincidence. Even our CIA says there is no such thing as coincidence. And so last Sunday, I spoke to y'all about Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, where God says that he put the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that into the heavens for light, to mark days, to mark seasons, and also for signs. And we remember that when Jesus was born, that the three men from the east, they traveled very, very far. And by the time they got arrived, they were looking for Jesus, because they had been told from a long time before, their civilization had been told most likely from the prophet Daniel, that there would be the coming king of the Jews. And this is how you would know, by the signs in the heaven, because these three men told King Herod, we have seen his sign, his star in the heavens. And so God does not change. Yesterday, today, forever, he is always the same. And I'm just going to say this right now. God speaks to humanity still through creation, through events in the heavens. And I'm telling you right now, the signs of the end of this age are shouting to us from the heavens. They're shouting to us from the heavens. And God, it cannot be more clear than this. Those who know the word of God know that there is something moving within the hearts of God's people on this earth. Now, the church must show up. The church must, when the church showed up in the book of Acts, it set the world on fire because they were on fire. Now, I want you to hear that this morning. The church in the book of Acts set the world on fire because they were on fire. They had Holy Spirit fire, not hellfire, Holy Spirit fire. And that is what the church needs today, Holy Spirit fire. But so much of the church in America has hellfire. They smell like brimstone. It's coming close. And my heart breaks for this. But Jesus speaks to us in the book of Revelation about the conditions of the church in the end of the age, of this church age. And of seven churches, five are told to repent of their sins. He found them to be wicked. He found them to be people that he would reject. Now, this is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ in speaking to his church. And if this is speaking to you this morning, to you watching online, I want to tell you something. This is to the church in America. Because as the church falls, so go will the nations. And I believe with all my heart, there is only one, how do you say it? Government, agency, organization, whatever you want. There's one thing in this world that is on the rise, that's powerful, and it fits perfectly with the rise of a final Antichrist, and that's communism. And communism is strong today. Communism is here. And I remember Billy Graham said in 1951 that communism would be the devil's end time religion. Now, I know that when this final Antichrist arises and introduces what he is going to introduce, I believe it's going to truly be a new religion. But it's rooted from communism. There is so much that is happening in Canada, so much that is happening in China, so much that is happening where their rights have been taken away, they're being monitored by their governments, and the people of those nations are willingly accepting it. There's no uprising of the nations there. They willingly accept it. Their credit score is based on a social score. How they respond in their social media, they're evaluated not by how they pay their bills, but also how they respond on social media. And if you're in agreement with the governments, then guess what? You have a good credit score. You're able to buy, sell, and trade. Sound familiar? Sound familiar?
Yes.
There will be a mark that will be introduced, and no one will be able to buy, sell, and trade unless they receive that mark. The mark, it's rooted in not just from communism, but the introductory door is socialism. And so many Americans are buying it, socialism. They're welcoming it. They want to distribute the wealth. They want to distribute this. Where the Bible says that the lazy sluggard will not get the worm. If you shall not work, you shall not eat. Now, God wants us to work hard. And please, if there's somebody that's watching online for the first time, I know there are many of you that are starting to watch for the first time. I want you to give the Lord, give me an opportunity to just hear this message in its entirety. Because there may be something that you have heard that you may not like. And I'm not here to tickle ears, but I would like you to hear this entire message. Amen? Thank you very much. Thank you for being open to that. Now, in Acts chapter 2, there was a movement with repentance. But what I see today in so many churches in America are movements without repentance. And there is a difference between a movement with repentance of sin and a movement without repentance of sin. The Bible says that we are to be aware of the plans and the schemes of the evil one. And if we are to be aware, we can recognize these types of movements, if they are of God or if they are not of God. Now I pray that these movements that are happening in some of these churches throughout the land, the mark is the repentance of sin. That is the mark. You know, you can invite people into your home, and sometimes you'll be influenced by what they do or say, and sometimes you will not. Sometimes their opinions matter to you, and sometimes their opinions do not matter. But when it comes to Jesus, and when you ask Him into your heart and into your home, there has to be a complete transformation. There has to be. Why? Because that is His business. That is His power. There is redempting power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That there is His work on the cross. It is complete. It is finished. There's nothing that you need to do but repent of your sins and make up your mind to follow Him daily. I don't care what therapists say. I don't care what psychologists say. I don't care what anybody says. I care what Jesus Christ says. And Jesus Christ says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. And I'm saying that Christ came to set captives free. But we've clogged our ears with so much gossip and opinions and worldly stuff. And the voice of Satan is the only thing you hear. There has to be a breakthrough. Amen. There has to be a breakthrough. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus told these new believers that were with the disciples, go up into Jerusalem, wait in the upper room until you receive power from on high. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See, so much in the church today, we're not in all of one accord. We let all this and all that get in the way. But they were in one accord. They understood that there was one purpose that they had. And they were willing to put all other grievances aside for this one purpose. They were in one accord. That's what's missing in the church today. Verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There's a lot of sounds in this world today. But just as the Bible teaches us to look up, for your redemption draws near, because heaven has come down to us. God is speaking to us from the heavens by signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. God is speaking to us. We are without excuse. But there came a sound from heaven, and there's still coming a sound from heaven today. And it has to fill your hearts. It has to fill your homes. Verse 3 says, there appeared to be to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each one of them. This is for each one. It's individual. It's for you uniquely. Just like salvation is for you uniquely. This gift, this is apart from salvation. Because of salvation comes the gift of the Holy Spirit, comes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now in their day, they began to speak in tongues. Why? They began to speak in unknown earthly languages, languages that they did not know. They began to speak these things when this happened. Look, verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, either the prophets of God or the dead theologians are going to speak to you in this world. Because so much of the spirit of prophecy has been snuffed out by dead theologians today. They sit there behind their books, and all it is just theology and theology, where the book of Ecclesiastes says you can read too many books. And that's where the Pharisees and the Sadducees went. They were so filled with just discussing and debating. All the while, the people around them were dying. All the while, the people around them were poor, were maimed, were blind, were sick. You get what I'm saying? It's so much like the church today. We have so many different denominations, so many different churches, so many different ideas. All the while, are we really meeting the needs of the people out there that God wants to touch? Are we really putting Christ first? I'm going to give you this in Matthew 3:11. Jesus tells his disciples, John the Baptist says this, I'm sorry. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's Jesus. He will fill you with the power of God, with the fire of God, with passion. And Christian, you know today if the fire is there or if the fire is gone. You know if the fire of God is in you. It's unspeakable. It's undeniable. In Matthew 10:19-20, Jesus says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Jesus was warning them in this passage, saying, they're going to persecute you. They're going to come against you in the future. He was speaking not only to the disciples, but he was speaking to the whole church throughout the past 2,000 years. He said, they're going to persecute you. You're going to face the gates of hell. But don't worry about what you're going to say. If you are in me and I am in you, I'm going to speak through you. I'm going to use you to touch people. What does that mean for us? That means we're healed. That means we're sealed. That means we're delivered. And that means that we're going to do things that the world cannot understand. But the dead theologians will tell you otherwise. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Let me read this to you. In 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to move this morning. Please stay with me. Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, these are the gifts that come with the baptism, the filling daily of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that Jesus talked about that would come. Now, all of you have heard this, but let me tell you something. You may have heard this, but why is it we're not flowing in this? Why? Look, here is the gift. But the manifestation of the Spirit given to each one, meaning to each believer, it's individual, like each tongue of fire were on all of those people in the upper room. And it's each one to you today. Look, here are the gifts. Verse 8, the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. Verse 9, the faith. Gifts of healing. Verse 10, working of miracles. Prophecy, the discerning of spirits. Different kinds of tongues, the interpretations of tongues. I mean, these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the gifts that came into the life of the believer so that we could be a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this, there are people, let me read verse 11, but one and the same Spirit of God works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We're not all gonna have these gifts. Not all are gonna speak in tongues. Not all are gonna work miracles. Not all are gonna have the gift of faith. Look, verse 9, the gift of faith. What? You have to have faith to come to Jesus Christ. Am I right? Am I right? But the Bible clearly says that there is another gift of faith. It is a deeper type of faith. It's a gift of the Spirit of God. These things are deep and mysterious, guys. So we all have faith when we become a Christian, but this is saying that there's a deeper faith. There's a gift of faith. Now, the Holy Spirit will give as he determines. Amen. Go back with me to Acts chapter 2. To Mark 16, 15 through 18. Jesus tells the church here, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15 through 18. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17. And these signs will follow you, those who believe in my name. Not just the disciples, the apostles, but to all who believe in his name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let me tell you something. Are the sick still in the world today? Yes or no? Are there demons still today possessing people? Yes or no? Yes. We need the Holy Spirit still. A lot of these sensationists will tell you that the gifts are done. That the office of the prophet is removed. It's done. There's moves within the church in America, the New Apostolic Reformation, where they believe we need to set up new apostles, that the original apostles were not good enough, that there needs to be a new foundation to propel the church forward in this age that we're in. That's a demonic teaching as well. Because I believe that when Jesus picked the apostles, he did a perfect job. It does not need to be changed by men. But yet, so many in the church today buy it, hook, line, and sinker. That there's Christian artists out there, there's Christian ministries out here in America that are from left field. They're not from the heart of God, but they're infiltrating churches and they're leading God's people astray. They're leading God's people astray. Does this concern you? To the church in America, we need a movement with repentance of sin, not a movement without repentance. Just because the church building is filled with people and they're all singing and shouting and running around up and down, if they go back out there and they still sin, live a life of sin, what they were doing in there was not pleasing to God. It had nothing to do with God. I remember back in my day, I've been around, seen a lot of stuff, like many of you have too, but I once heard a pastor say, you know, slain in the spirit, I don't know what that's all about, but this I do know. If you fall down at the altar call, when you get back up, you better not be the same person. Because if you did, that was not God that put you down. You see, the prophet Daniel was put down on the ground. He lay as though he was dead. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. When we have encounters with God, we can fall down as though dead. But the dead theologians today will tell you, that's not of God. The theologians today will tell you the gifts of the Spirit don't mean nothing today. We have the whole written word of God. Amen. These guys knew the written word. They knew the Old Testament, but they needed the gifts of the Holy Spirit to propel the church forward. And it has not changed today. I want to speak to the church in America. You're moved by entertainment. You're moved by the lights, the cameras, and the action. And you know, to a degree, there's nothing wrong with that. But if there's no repentance of sin, then it don't mean anything to God. Nothing. If you go home today, Grace Christian Center, those online, and you still are entertained by the sins of the world, if you're still foul-mouthed, if you're still living the life that you know God doesn't want you to live, you're on your way to hell. You just are. And I just know there are people that are going to say, Michael, you can't say that. Why? Jesus said it. Again, this is where we come to understand where you either tickle ears or you don't. Because, you know, you only get one shot at heaven and one shot at hell. And I'm not going to be guilty of speaking something that, you know, wasted your time, wasted my time. Now, people need to be healed today. People need demons cast out of them today. And the Holy Spirit determines what gifts you get. Now, I'm going to move on now because there's a lot more I need to say here in the short time that we have. Luke 24, 46 through 49. Then Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that, look, repentance and remission of sin, the forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Today, repentance is not preached. It may be just mentioned, but they quickly move away from it, and they accept all things into the church today. Paul was encountered with this in 1 Corinthians. And Paul said, "Cast that brother out. Cast him out of the church fellowship." Why? Because that's God's way. There's so much involved in this. My goodness. I mean, I've had people over the years get upset with me because we follow the Bible. We follow how God says to do things according to the church. Church workings. But to the church in America, we're in trouble. I have to include myself in that because we are the church in America. The church in America is in very trouble. I'm getting onto that in just a moment. I'm setting up this foundation really quick. Let me move quickly. Verse 47, "And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48, "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He was telling the apostles this, the disciples, before he went to the cross. He says, "I'm going to send you out, but you need to wait. You need to wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you." In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, that's where we read, "The Holy Spirit fell upon them, and then they went out and preached and built the church." They were the builders. God made things grow. God was the chief builder, but these guys were the beginning of the hands and the feet of the body of Christ. And they went out in the power of the Spirit. We cannot do anything apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing. If you walk away from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will backslide, you'll walk away. I've seen it time and time and time again. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Those who have an ear, let them hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Spirit did not come and give the gifts in the beginning of the book of Acts, and then 1,000 years later, the Holy Spirit says, "Oh, I'm taking back some of the gifts because, you don't need it anymore." That sounds ridiculous. But yet, theologians will tell you the opposite. They bicker and they fight over Calvinism, over Arminianism, and Baptists, and Pentecostal, and all this. All of that, it's of man. Catholicism. All these Christian sects, it's all of men. People who are Catholics, they get mad at me. Why? I'm standing for Jesus. I'm not standing for the Pope. I'm not standing for denominations. I'm not standing for the Baptist faith, for the Pentecostal faith, for non-denominational faith. I'm standing for Jesus Christ. Amen. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall remain forever." All of these denominations, they twist and pervert the word of God. They do. I mean, get serious, guy. Get real. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and see what we're talking about here. It's time to walk away from man-made religions and traditions and walk to Jesus. Period. You see, what we see in Acts chapter 2, they were praying together. They were waiting on God for the Holy Spirit. They were praying together. They were all in one accord. We don't see that in the church today. Now, I know that there are a number of people at Grace Christian Center and other churches, they only show up on Sundays. And I'm not bashing you. I'm thank God that you're here. But as a pastor, as a brother in Christ, I have to say these things. And if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not for you, praise God, it's not for you. God knows every single situation that we're all in. Some of you are battling with some very physical ailments. Some of you, y'all can get up and y'all can go and be counted amongst the gathering. Every situation is different, but I do as a pastor, I have to speak it to a whole, and that I'm speaking to people online that are watching. Just this past Wednesday on my message, it blew up into the several hundreds that have watched this video. That's never happened to me before. I know there are people watching online, but I have to say it as a whole. But the days of just coming to church on Sundays and doing our Sunday thing are over. They're over. Because what we read in the book of Acts, they met every single day. Men were willing to leave their jobs. Now, I'm not saying leave your job. But what I find is that they were thinking about the needs of others and not the needs of themselves. And that right there is what's plaguing the church. We're not looking to the needs of others, but we're only looking to ourselves. And there is no love of Christ in that. There's not. Jesus said, the world will know my disciples by the love they have for each other. We need to learn how to build each other up instead of tear each other down. Because this is what they did, and the Holy Spirit found. Some people say it was only 11 up in the upper room. Some say it was 120. But regardless of the number, here's what I will say. They were all in one accord. They were all together, and they were all praying. And they were doing this every day because they were under fierce persecution. And that's what persecution will do. It'll drive you to the feet of Jesus. So verse 5 in Acts 2:5, it says this. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these men speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocked, said they are full of wine. The mocking still continues to this day. They make fun of us when we gather for prayer, when we gather for Bible study. Your own families do it. Your own family. Well, why are you wasting this time? You know, the devil knows the power of Christian fellowship. You need to hear that again. The devil knows the power of Christian fellowship. I want to tell you, don't give up. Because Jesus will not give up on you. So you hold on to that. Don't give up. To those who are faithful, to those who are fighting the good fight of faith, to those who are paving the way for others to follow, to those who are leaving a legacy to the next generation, the cross of Christ, don't give up. Because there is a great untold number of people that are dependent on your testimony. Don't give up. Be faithful in your church gatherings, in your local churches. Those you who watch and you go to your home church, support your pastors. If that man follows God, support him. Help him. Pray with him. The Bible says, know those whom you labor amongst. Let me say that again. Know those whom you labor amongst. You only do that by fellowship, by praying together. We are heading into persecution like the church has never seen before. I do believe the Lord could come at any moment. But I also believe we're going to see some things. Go figure that out. In order to survive, to hang on, we must follow the pattern of the church that was laid for us to follow. These people saw Jesus with their own eyes. They knew exactly how to serve the Lord. The church in America, many of us have strayed away. We've strayed away. We've allowed our jobs. We've allowed family. We've allowed our health, circumstances get in the way of that. All of what you're going through did not take God by surprise. It was all a test given to you to see, will you still be faithful? It was a test given to you to see, will you still serve the Lord? You give to Caesar what's Caesar, but you give to God what belongs to God. And God is saying, gather, be filled with the Spirit, be a building block to your brothers and sisters, not a stumbling block. And the world will take notice. The world took notice. People from all over the world had come to Jerusalem for that feast, the Pentecost. And they were like, they all took notice. The world will still take notice by what we do. by what we say at our jobs, by the way we handle each other. Peter says in verse 14, he stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and he said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." I mean, pay attention to what I'm saying. "For these are not drunk as you suppose." It's only 9 in the morning. He says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." I find this incredible, because here's the Peter, just 50 plus days before this event, he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And 50 plus days later, he gets up before thousands and thousands of people and he confesses Christ and he preaches the first sermon of the church. What is the difference? The filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The filling of the Holy Spirit. What Peter used to do in his flesh, now he does in the Spirit of God. Pastor Jason said that, you know, if you trust Pastor Michael to preach the Word of God in the Spirit of God, and he does that, then we need to trust Pastor Michael that he will direct affairs of the church with the finances, because it's also in the Spirit of God as well. We cannot just be led certain times. No, the Lord, Spirit don't work like that. We need to be led by the Spirit because we are the sons of God. We are the daughters of the Lord. And we need to be led by the Spirit of God at all times. You know, when sometimes you do something wrong and nobody tells you nothing, but it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, respond to that. Make it right. But he says in verse 17, he quotes Joel, the prophet Joel. Here it is, the first sermon spoken before people, and it's the words of a prophet, Joel. New Testament. But the death theologians say, office of the prophets are no good in the day. Prophets are all gone. "And it shall come to pass," he says, "in the last days," we're in the last days, we're in the last hours, "that God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, the whole church. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Preach! "You shall see visions and dreams," men, young men visions, your old men dreams. "On my men servants and my maid servants." You hear that? We are servants of the Lord. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. Even your time, it doesn't belong to you. God can say, your last day on earth. Why? Because you are his servant. I'd rather be the servant of Jesus than the servant of the devil. Amen. Make up our mind. What are we going to be today? We're going to serve the devil or we're going to serve Jesus? "I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they shall prophesy," meaning preach. It's not just to the preacher to preach. It's all of our responsibility to preach the Word of God, to live the Word of God. Verse 19, "I will show wonders in heaven above." You hear that? God says, "I've always shown humanity the move of heaven from the signs in the heavens." And he says, "And I'm going to continue to do that in the last days." What is happening tomorrow over America, the solar eclipse, the world says, "Ha, ha, ha, y'all's crazy Christians. Y'all look at everything as you know, ooh, spooky, spooky." When God said in Genesis chapter 1 that the signs, the heavens are, the sun, the moon, the stars are for signs. Jesus' birth was announced by the star, signs. And he says it here, "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke." Vapor of smoke, that is war. That's earthquakes, epidemics, catastrophe. We just had an earthquake in New York City for the first time in what, over 200 years. Coincidence? Days before this solar eclipse, which is tied to so many biblical things. Oh, and by the way, did you know that when Jonah went to preach and tell Nineveh to repent of its sin, did you know that there was, you know, they can go back. Solar eclipses are amazing. You can go back to the day. And they believed very strongly, NASA, Bible theologians, they just got this right at least, that they said that when Jonah went into Nineveh, there was a solar eclipse. I believe with all my heart, I could be wrong, but I don't think the rapture is going to happen tomorrow. I don't think anything's going to happen tomorrow. Everything's going to be normal as normal. That's just my opinion. But I do believe that what is happening tomorrow over America, it's a harbinger. 9/11 was a harbinger. It was a warning to a nation. Because you see, America is the head of Western civilization. And if Western civilization falls, communism will dominate the world. And it will make a way for the ushering in of a final Antichrist. And that is what we see happening, the transition of civilizations and governments. This is what is happening today. So that's why and these two solar eclipses from 2017 to 2024, it's an X. And it focuses the X dead center on the Madrid fault line in middle America. The last time there was an earthquake was in 1812. And the Mississippi River ran backwards, and that was the year that the White House burned down. The British burned the White House down that year. Not coincidence. Solar eclipses are for signs to the nations. Tomorrow will just be another sign. Why is it that our president, Joe Biden, and pray for his salvation because he is a lost soul. Pray for Donald Trump. He is a lost soul. I know the Trumpers are going to get mad. Oh, no, he's a godly man. You can keep believing all you want, but no man will save us, only Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not for Trump or against Trump. I'm not for Biden or against Biden. I'm for Jesus. Amen. Now, I know that one president may be better than the other, but they're still men, and they're still going to fail. Because eventually, all people will turn their backs on God if they don't have the Spirit of God in them. But our president is opening the doors for more and more evil to happen and to our nation to come against Israel, to belittle Benjamin Netanyahu, the president of Israel. Right now, all of what's happening in Israel. We've been talking about a war possibly happening in Taiwan. And just last week, a big earthquake in Taiwan happened. And just a couple of days ago, earthquake in New York City. These are not coincidences. These are signs that God is doing something. God is watching the injustices and the murderers of this world. But more importantly, God is watching the church in America. He's watching you. Because you are to be the salt and light of the earth. You are to be the city on a hill that shines its light for all to know the way to come to Christ. But if we're snuffed out by secret sin, if we're sipping saints, if we're busy being entertained by the sins of the world, the devil just snuffed out the light of God within us. And all we're doing is offering him lip service, but we're not honoring him with our heart. Verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. We just had a blood moon too. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall be saved. Now, in verses 22 through 36, Peter goes on to speak about that generation is the one that crucified Christ. That it was that generation they should have paid attention to the Christ being the Messiah. And in verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, Peter said, you are sinners. It was because of your sin that Jesus went to the cross. And they cried out, what do we do? You see, when you preach the word of God, people are going to be transformed because it's addressing the root of the problem. And your problem is not with your family. Your problem is not with the preacher. Your problem is with Jesus Christ. And if your problem with Jesus Christ is fixed and right, then everything else will be right in your life. Period. That's it. You know, it's simple math. I have a problem with people because I have a problem with Jesus. Instead of trying to make things right with people, make it right with Jesus. And even if I can't get it right with everyone else, at least I have it right with Jesus. I've just taken myself out of the dilemma of being lost forever. Amen? Now, Peter says in verse 38, repent! Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You see, sin is being spoken and dealt with. That's the mark of a Holy Spirit-filled preacher. They talk about sin because God's people face sin every day. And we got to talk about what you face every day. Now, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for this promise is to you, your children, and to all the far away, and as many as the Lord our God will call. It's to the end of the church age. The gifts of the Holy Spirit to the end of the church age. It's all for the end of the church age. Now, the gift of speaking in tongues, so many people abuse that. They abuse it to make money in their ministry. Just like faith. They abuse the gift of faith to get people to start giving. They abuse the gift of false healing to get people to start giving. Do you see? So it's not just, you know, tongues is real. Speaking in tongues. All of these gifts are there. They're real. They're in their place. And only the Holy Spirit knows when you need to use that gift. But so much of the church in America has perverted this, and it's spilled out to the churches in Africa now. The churches in Africa, a lot of them are very corrupt from what I hear. I don't know, but that's what I hear from very solid people, especially in Kenya. But where did it all begin? I believe it began here in America in the 80s and 90s with the prosperity gospel, with many of the false movements. There was a lot of movements of God, but there was no repentance of sin. And it still continues to this day. Verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people got saved at the first church service. Praise God. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. 3,000 repented of their sins. Because he addressed the situation of what was plaguing their lives. And verse 42, look. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Meaning, they continued steadfastly coming to hear the preacher preach. And fellowship. And the breaking of bread. And in prayers. That's what a lot of churches do. They come together. They like to eat food together and they'll pray together. But if that repentance of sin is not the cornerstone of why we gather, then we start building upon sin all over again. And sin needs to be cut out. Look, this needs to literally scare the hell out of you, out of me. Because at the end of the day, in the twinkle of an eye, it's your last breath. I want you to do something for me. Take a breath. That's it. You're in heaven. You're in hell. That's it. It's that fast. It's that fast. Life is over. The Bible says in the twinkle of an eye. It's that fast. Do we really want to take a gamble and play with the things of God as we entertain the devil? But the church in America, they've chosen. And because they've chosen to live a life of idolatry, the nation goes the way this church is going. Entertained by these things of the world. Verse 44, now all who believed, look at this, all who believed were together. They had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst anyone who had need. See, they were not tithers anymore. You see that? They were not tithers anymore. They were givers. And I've always said this, a giver gives more than a tither. Because these people were selling homes, lands, and bringing all of it to the feet of the apostles. Why? Because there's needs that the church had to meet. That's what a true church does. But again, a lot of people in the ministry abuse that. And therefore, it's corrupted a lot of God's people to not trust to give anymore. But you're still without excuse. We still need to follow this example of giving. And I'll say it again. A New Testament giver gives more than a tither. Someone who gives 10% of their income. A New Testament giver gives more. Because God said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He was the first to be the giver. New Testament. And that's the greatest thing he could give, was his only begotten son. And we need to be following the same path. Give. Are you willing to give it all for Jesus today? Good. Then you're like your Father in heaven. You're not holding on to those things so you can have security, stability. That comes from Jesus, not from money, not from your company, not from your career, not from your spouses. It comes from Jesus alone. And Jesus will test you on this. Remember Abraham? Abraham loved Isaac. He loved him so much, but God said, go and sacrifice your son. Eventually God said, stop, as he lifted the knife, stop. The angel of the Lord said, I was just testing you. God will test us still. He will test us to make sure that we love him, because he loves us. Are you willing to give everything away for the name of Jesus? Verse 46 says this, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who were being saved, they were daily filled with the glory of God, with church fellowship. They met from house to house. You see, it spilled over not from just the pulpit, but it went into their homes, and they met in the homes. Every day they were gathering. Every day. When's the last time you invited somebody to your house to eat? Don't worry about what the pastor does. Worry about what you do. How do you know what I do? Worry about what you do. When's the last time you've gone out and eaten with somebody? When's the last time you've had somebody over your house? When's the last time you've been faithful to your local church? And you say, you know what? And you show up and you make a difference. Again, judgment will come to this nation. Tomorrow is a major harbinger on America. I say this, and I believe the Holy Spirit has told me this. America has been weighed and sifted and has been found guilty. I believe America is beyond the point of no return, that they're beyond it. They're at a point of no return. They will not return to God. You see, God says, I set up nations and I tear them down. And we're about to see this very scripture come to pass in our very, very modern generation. I see this. Pierced hearts. And we do not need theatrics in the church. We need the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The nation has been judged. But the church in America, we need to get this right. We need to get this right. And we have but a very brief time to do this. And I want to encourage you, if you signed up, show up. I've said that before. You signed up, show up. It's not the job of elders in the church, the preachers, to be faithful to the fellowship. They were all doing that. And guess what, guys? Look, they made a difference. Because you know what is also one of the biggest obstacles in the life of an American Christian? Selfishness. When you're selfish, it shows. But when you're unselfish, you show up. You know, I remember, and I'm not going to toot anybody's horn, but I just need to say this. I remember one time Miss Mildred came. This was very, very recently. She came to a night service we had, and she looked physically exhausted. She's in her 70s. She looked so physically exhausted. And she came. I'm like, Miss Mildred. She goes, I just got off work. I'm so tired. And I'm like, well, why don't you just go home? She goes, no. The Lord told me to come. Multiply that times 100. Throughout the past 2 years, that's what I have seen with many people in this church. They show up because they know God's called them to it. When we get to heaven, you'll see that what I just said was absolute truth. No lie to it whatsoever. And I did not want to tell her, next time just stay home, because I feel like I might have been getting in the way of God by saying that to her. Because we all have to make a sacrifice. But if we're busy doing this and busy doing that, we miss it. We miss God. And just because you see those churches out there where they've got the building projects, they've got the 300 kids out there, they're doing all this and doing all that, does not mean that that is a move of God. I hope it is. But a movement without repentance is no movement of God at all. I believe that with all my heart, because that is what God is after. The scriptures teach us that that is what the Lord is after. To the church in America, part one. Give God praise in this house. Amen. Praise God.